There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. The Cancel Me Now podcast is back for another week, but we have this amazing sponsor, Bluey.
Papa Macros.
Papa Macros. Each and every week, we're brought to you by the great people at Papa Macros. Papa Macros. They have the best macros. They are the best damn food that you've ever eaten. They're delivered straight to your door. You wouldn't believe it. Isn't that right, Bluey?
Yeah, mate. They're good.
They're very good.
Now, our two guests today are sober, but as I've said before, if you drink all weekend and don't prep your food, Papa Macros are there for
you. The way to go. And yeah. I tell you what, if you use
these
the
boys
code,
don't know anything about that, but
no, I do.
Hypothetically speaking, if you're a pisshead, you would love Papa Macros. Bluey loves them. He called me Sunday night. He said, "Butts, I'm not going. I'm not going to Macca's to get a feed on a Sunday night after being on the piss all week. I'm going to get my Papa Macros," and he ate those. And with the code Isaac, you get 10% off, and we get a kickback for this podcast. Go and do it. We need the cash. This episode is going to be an absolute cracker. We have two legends, but we have Bluey here as well. You're always a legend.
I'm here though,
top bloke. You are on my right today. It's hard to talk to you, but I tell you what, Dallas Stone, Jared Mullen.
Thanks, Miles.
How's doing, gentlemen? Welcome to the show.
How are you, mate?
Good, brother. Good, good. Thank you very much for coming in. We've had a very interesting afternoon. Lovely wife, Dickie. She was nearly birthing, but it was a false alarm. So no birth took place.
There was panic.
There was panic. Panic at the station. Word had got around that little Dickie was about to drop a child out of her, but we ended up going over to the hospital and all was sweet. Some what's known as Braxton. Yeah, big shits. She had big shits. Nah, she had Braxton Hicks.
Braxton Hicks.
I believe it is. Yeah.
The doctor's like, she's not pregnant. She's constipated. Yeah.
she's had too much dominoes.
She's had no fibre. So they strapped her up. They lubed her up and the bub's heart was nice and numb. It was all good. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate everyone's concern. But we found out that Mullo actually had driven quite away.
I was gutted. I was filthy.
He looked pissed off.
Gutted or just had the shits?
Oh, a bit of both. Well, your missus had the shits, I didn't
know. Allegedly.
We're also joined in studio by Black Magic as well.
BM. Braz. It's great to have you all here and thank you for coming in.
Cheers, mate.
Right, so let's perhaps start with you, Dallas. Can you give a bit of a background of who you are, what you do, what's going on?
Dallas Stone, I am a dedicated husband. Well, husband-to-be, father, podcast host, third best in Newcastle, apparently.
What's number two?
Yeah, what's that?
What's number two?
Oh, they haven't figured it out yet.
What's number one?
Do we need? Come on.
Podcast host and...
what's your podcast?
To the Point podcast.
To the Point.
Yeah, To the Point podcast. We've had the great Bluey Nelson on To the Point podcast.
It was about 18 months ago, and I've still got in the car the board shorts that I knocked off from your house that day.
We were talking about that before.
Yeah, they're in the car. I promise, they're in the car.
How do you just flog someone's board shorts?
Been knocking off your shit.
I know,
mate,
a bloke.
Check your wardrobe.
I know a bloke.
I steal shit every time I come here.
There's a mate of mine called... Shout out.
Okay, a bunger.
He is a flog, but he also flogs everyone's clothes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a pig when it comes to this shit. He'll take underpants, he'll take towels, and he's just got a wardrobe full of other bloke stuff.
Yeah. I mean, other people's clothes are better.
Is he Jewish?
No, he's just very small.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, good on him.
Yeah.
Puts a hell of a tired ass, too. I won't go into that story. Yeah. Many years ago, he made love to a lady on the floor and his parent, allegedly, this isn't him, this is someone else, probably one of his apprentices. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there.
Allegedly
made sweet love on his parents' floor. It was hilarious. Anyway, shout out to mum and dad. Mum and dad, fucking. Hey, Gabe, can you, when you edit this, can you bleep his name out? Yeah, bleep his name out and his business and what he does for a living.
Yeah.
He met this chick at the Beaches Hotel.
So we're going to go on.
We're
going
to tell the story. Yeah. And he would have been about 30 at the time. She would have been about the same age. And he, I don't know if Claire's parents are still upstairs, but he fucked her in the ass on his, in his parents' house on a mattress on the floor. This is a woman who taught kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tough stuff. Like, imagine that. Imagine finding out that your kindergarten teacher was getting rooted in the ass on some allegedly floor on a mattress because he'd moved back in with them to save cash. Anyway, Bluey, what's
up? He listens to this podcast too.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Bleep the fuck out of his name.
That's all going to need beeping.
Oh, also, before we get to Mullo, sorry, to the point podcast, go and check it out on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, yeah, so all podcasting platforms. And yeah, also got a concrete pumping business, TEM Concrete Pumping. So yeah, I got my fingers in a couple of pies, but yeah, nah, I'm just a proud dad doing my best. And also I guess a recovering addict. So yeah, in recovery. So just over 15 months clean and sober now. So
congratulations.
Yeah,
mate.
Thank
That's
you.
Beautiful.
Cheers, guys.
That's
awesome. Yeah. And this is going to be a very positive podcast, so we're going to get down to the nitty gritty in a few different things as well. But before we do that, and before we talk to Mullo, producer Gabe's not here.
So it's tee off time. Is that what
this
you're saying?
Fucking cunt gets paid an exorbitant wage, and because we've had to delay the podcast by an hour and a half, I ring him. He goes, "Oh, mate, I don't think I can make it."
Well, I was close to pulling the pin too.
You were?
Well, I was halfway to Cole Point. So what happened is
the Cole Point's like
it's nowhere near where I live.
What's his excuse?
He didn't have an excuse. He just said, "Oh,
nah." So you're like, no.
And I was just, because I was already at the hospital, I was in a good mood. I was just like, oh, yeah, all right, fair enough. But he just asked for a pay increase not too long ago. So this is, I'm starting to feel a few regrets. I'm full of shame.
As the great and powerful Steve Morris says, you've got to give hand ups, not hand outs.
Exactly. So. Well, I feel like I'm giving hand jobs at the moment. Like, this is. Fuck me.
I'm in.
And the great Jared Marlin, how are you doing, brother? What's happening?
I'm going good, mate. I'm really good. Yeah. This is a great setup, brother.
Thank you very much, mate.
I'm filthy to get in one of those chairs, but maybe next one.
One of the French chairs that no one seems to care about.
It's old and that's 200 years old.
Well, if you're a bit taller, you would have made it.
You're sitting in Amart furniture.
Is it? Oh, I love it.
Shout out to Amart. Great sponsors of the show. use the code Butterfield for. And Mullo, your story similar?
Yeah, I don't have much of a story actually. There's not much went on in my life in the last 10 years. Pretty quiet actually, real quiet. So, mate, I'm 4 years clean and sober.
Wow,
so just over 4 years. Yeah, probably finished just after the venue.
Yeah, that I reckon.
Over
sure
those.
Walked out of Bluey's house and went, I'm done. You know?
So you know Bluey.
I know Bluey, yeah. So
how did you?
Oh,
was it like at a like a?
We didn't play together. I'll tell you that.
Play
much.
Together? You weren't similar football skill.
Well, yeah, we're sort of mates off the field. In all hours of the morning,
we crossed paths once or twice.
Was there like a normal place you guys would cross paths? Like the part where you get the little. The little fucking not, what's it called? The courtesy bus from the Prince to King Street. Is that where you'd run into each other?
Nah, generally in other people's houses.
Other people's houses.
Okay.
It was probably at your apartment where you used to park my missus's car spot.
Yeah, that's a sore point. but I'd always ask for Bluey. I'd say, where's Bluey? And they're like, he's coming. I'm like, yeah. That's a lie. He's hilarious.
He's a great man. Yeah.
Boring.
Well, it's very rare when you're around footballers a lot to have someone that actually has a personality. It's very rare.
Very rare being around footballers and they're doing drugs. Very rare.
Well, that's what I hear. I hear it's particularly in Newcastle. Never happened. But you did spend a lot of time playing rugby league for the Knights here and for New South Wales and for Australia as well?
No, not
Australia. Well, you're on the same par as all of us. So there you go. Congratulations.
Prime Minister's 13. Does that count?
That counts, absolutely. You wore the green and gold?
Yeah.
Aussie schoolboy?
Aussie schoolboy, yeah.
Green and gold.
Green and gold, yeah.
Fucking oath. And your career was doing very well. You're a very, very well-renowned player. And from all reports, there were some things that happened mainly to do with – was it steroids or was it like peptide sort of stuff?
It was supposed to be a amino acid.
Yeah.
And the bloke stuffed up.
So, but you weren't trying to juice to get – like massive or anything, you were taking something to heal your hamstring,
Whatever, the thing that was stuck in my system was Drosselin. and it actually does more damage than does good. So it stays in the system for 6 months.
Yeah.
So my argument was, why would I put something in my body that stays in the system for 6 months when we get tests every 2 weeks?
Yes.
This does not make sense.
Yes.
Then we had the interview with the NRL. If I gave up the bloke, I would have only got 2 years, but I'd had the 4 years. I said, as long as you come to the interview and say what you've done, and now he skipped the country and no one can find him.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Fuck. Known him for 10 years and that's what happened, so.
And he was sort of deep in with all the other players and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, a lot of players went to him. They had to get John Needle and all that. And yeah, that's what you get just for trusting people. So obviously you've got trust issues now. And then obviously when that happened, football got taken away from me. Mm. So chasing those highs and that and trying to mask all the pain I was going through. So, drinking, drugging and all that sort of stuff. And then got to a point where I had an overdose. Mum and dad found me. I was taking my last breaths and then took me to hospital. Woke up and they're like, do you think you should go to rehab? And I'm like, look, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, yeah.
Tomato. Yeah.
Come on, Leanne.
Feed a Maccas, you'll be right.
Yeah, have a beer and think about it.
Yeah. Pap a Macros, 10% off.
I'll call Bluey.
Yeah. I want to see what Bluey does.
He's Dr. Bluey.
I ain't talking to Bluey. Get out of here, doctor.
Bring her
up.
Doctor, you know Bluey.
You need a white coat and a stethoscope. Mullo, you're good.
You're good, mate. You're good to go.
Play on.
Yeah. Bluey plays all roles like Johnny Sins. Yeah. He just turns up. He's like, yeah. We know.
So I went straight from there, straight to rehab. And then that was December 2nd, 2018. Haven't touched it since.
Wow.
Not one drug and alcohol.
Drugs and alcohol, gone.
Nothing. Not one thing.
How do you go going cold turkey with that?
To start off with, it was pretty hard.
Yep.
Being around people that do it, but every day gets easier and easier. And now I don't even think about it.
I've always wondered, is it, because I'm someone who has an anxiety disorder, PTSD sort of thing from epilepsy, right?
Mm.
So I always wonder when someone is really craving a drug, in that dry spell when you're having withdrawals, is that feeling that you're having that you just can't calm yourself, you can't be in the moment, you're just constantly highly strung? What is that feeling?
You can't sit with yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Like you can't sit there with your own head and your own emotions. So you'd sit there and I'd just go, I'm a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. So I'll go get on a bender to make it better.
Yeah.
Always worked.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what the disease is. It's being having dis-ease with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, especially from my perspective, it was the only thing that was like calm me. And especially like through going through IVF, going through, these big developments in my life with my partner, it was just self-sabotage for me. But sure. It was like, because there was so much going on in my head, it was the only time I kind of had peace was, snorting cocaine on a Wednesday night to, 6 o'clock in the morning. So,
and was that the drug of choice for both of you, coke?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
And is it because it's such that quick high? Like I've talked about on the show that's the only drug I've really enjoyed because you sort of feel like, okay, I'm going to have it now, but I'll be sweet in 20, 30 minutes.
If you can still be in control, I suppose, rather than me drink a lot and be out of, sloppy and that, sort of straightens yourself up. But I wouldn't stop until everything's gone. And then
same.
I'll ring the next person who's, I know, partying somewhere else. I go there and then 3 days later, you're sitting there going, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You've been in my house for 2 days.
It's me, Bluey.
Oh, Bluey, too, sorry.
Always Bluey.
Yeah. Waking up in the middle, where's Bluey? He's right next to you. Thanks, mate. Thanks for looking after me.
I guess the other thing for me, especially with cocaine, was both my parents were heroin addicts.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, and it's such an addict thing to do, is like, well, I'm not a heroin addict like my parents. At least, like, cocaine's the rich man's drug.
Yeah,
I'm all right. Because I was a pretty highly functioning addict.
Yep.
I still went to work every day. Most people didn't really know. Like, even my partner, Lucy, she didn't even really understand the extent of, how bad my addiction actually was and how deep it actually ran. But it was just from that. Like, my life was so good and I couldn't handle it. So it was just like the only way I could handle that was by, I guess, the self-sabotaging of addiction.
Trying to fuck it up.
Trying to break it before it broke itself because I wasn't used to things going my way.
Is that sort of like an imposter syndrome sort of thing? Like,
100%, yeah.
You're there and you're thinking to yourself, hey, this isn't, like, something's got to go wrong. Yeah. There has to be a moment where it goes wrong.
Yeah, well, my partner, Lucy, look, you both have met her, like, you know, she's the most amazing person in the world and most amazing mother, you know.
Very successful.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, she's going to be a partner, you know, in her early 30s at a law firm. And, yeah, it was just like, you know, parts of me were like, I'm not good enough to be with this person. And then, you know, our IVF journey, I was kind of the downfall to it. So I kind of, you know, beat myself up and go, you know, I can't give this girl kids. So, you know, go snort cocaine, you know, then go through the IVF journey and you go through the hurdles and then watching her go through the hormonal stuff and then buying a house in COVID and stuff like that. So everything was just kind of like self-pity, self-loathe, and the way that you combat that is by, you know, self-medicating.
And it's a stressful time trying to become pregnant. Like, that's only something that we sort of, Claire and I, have found out like over the last 12 months or so. And, you know, Blue, when you finally put a ring on your lovely partner and make her a respectable woman for once...
Who's I haven't heard about this. Well, we tell each other everything, Bluey.
Bluey's grown
it's
up.
It's been 4 years, mate. You haven't
over
seen
the last
him.
4 years.
I had to fill a hole since you left me. It's someone else, mate. I'm sorry.
But man, to be
that perfect. Is a stressful time trying to fall pregnant. So for someone, I imagine it took you guys a couple, maybe a year or so, or a couple of years of failure. Not to be disrespectful, but and that's that just compounds the stress.
3 years, but so. When Luce and I kind of got together, it was like she was the love of my life, vice versa. So it was like we kind of just went into our relationship from the start of if it happens, it happens. And kind of as we got through the year and then the second year, and then by the third year, like, you know, she's kind of like, it's time. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're on a clock and
Bruce
it's like
Buffer.
It's time. So and then it was like, okay, I think we need some intervention from from, you know, westernized, like, and to be honest with you, like Janaya at Newcastle has the highest success rate in infertility.
What's their business called?
Janaya. Yes. Janaya, yeah.
And sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
Code Butterfield. Yeah. 10% off.
10% off, yeah.
It is expensive.
And a massive shout out to our fertility specialist, Mefenwi McAveen. She's at the Junction. Probably one of the best dressed, straight faced human beings of it. Like, I'll throw a joke. Like, you know, you're in there and like, I'd messed around with some, you know, like peptides and stuff like that. So she's saying the scientific name for them over the phone to try and get me like basically like TRT because my test levels were like at 3. I had nothing. But we found out later that I had a really bad herniation from playing rugby league and I left it and then, you know, ended up, long story short, I ended up getting this, you know, operation and it cooked me. But I ended up having twisted testicles. I was on a bender for 3 days and then I had footy training Monday and I was going to get in trouble. So I was like, I went and got a doctor's certificate and I was like, I had nothing there. And I used to be able to like basically put my intestines into my ball sack. And it was like a party trick because I could push it back up. And I've just like kind of dropped me dacks at the GP. I'm like, oh, I've got this. And she's like, you're getting in an ambulance now. You can die. So yeah, the kind of ongoing effect from that was...
Footballers, mate.
Yeah. So the ongoing effect from that was, basically the tubing from the testicles to get into the semen to get into the ejaculate.
The vas deferens. Yeah. Vas deferens?
Yeah, well... Sure. Yeah, no muss.
Yeah.
No muss. So yeah, that's how we ended up going down that route. So
wow.
Yeah, it was a journey, man. And like something that it's amazing that we can do it, but you know, when you see people conceive naturally, it's like I say to them, you don't really understand how much of a blessing it really is. Yeah.
100%. Especially when you've been through that journey.
Yeah, 100%. And then, yeah, my poor missus, like, you know, she's got them, you know, she just sees the good in everything, but yeah, going to behind closed door, I was just an absolute mess of a human being.
She sounds like a lovely person to deal with that, deal with the stress of IVF and still, you know, be there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And her job as well. Like, that sounds like a very hectic, you know, weight on her, but it sounds like she dealt with 100%. It really, really well.
Yeah. I think, like, Jared and I are quite lucky in the sense that we're very, very similar to each other.
We're not the same. I'm better looking than you.
Well, some say twins, Schwarzenegger, DeVito, but whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
Schwarzenegger. Never heard of
it. I'm not DeVito.
It's all DeVito.
But it's quite funny. Like, you kind of look at the characteristics of us both, and both of our partners are very, very similar. They're nurturing, loving, caring people, and you're just like, how did we get so...
Yeah.
What was your... Like, obviously, Mullo had his, like, tipping point.
Yeah.
When he was like, yeah, okay, this has got to stop.
Yeah.
What was yours when you were like, party's over?
Well, I've got to give massive credit to Jared, and I'm sorry if I'm going to butcher this for your story, but it's like, they told Jared in rehab the one thing that will happen was that he will relapse. And, you know, the strong mind person that he is, and, you know, what made him such a great athlete was like, I will show you guys that I will not do that. I'm not coming back to this place. So, that's probably one of the parts of your story that I absolutely love. But
I was going to tell it, but
yeah.
Sorry. That's all I have.
I'm a very proud
mate. Can't wait in the car.
Very proud mate. Yeah. For me, it was when, even up until, you know, it was like 6 months, 4 months, 3 months. I was like, well, I better rip in because it's only 3 months until I've got to be a dad. So it was like up until that point. And then she came early. And then, you know, seeing her with, you know, in NICU with, you know, the tubes all in her, and mate, she was tiny. She was 1.7 kilos. And to be honest with you, the thing that rattled me the most was my little girl was okay. She was just small. She was just undercooked. But the stuff that I seen in that NICU ward, and I'll do my best not to cry here because it's amazing what they do there.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky to have the exposure to the John Hunter and the neonatal ward that they have here. But some parents aren't as lucky as what Lucy and I were. And just seeing that, I was just like, what am I doing to myself? That was the tipping point. Like, that was from that point, I was so disgusted in myself that it was like, you know, I never want to be to my kid what I think of my parents. And yeah, from that kind of day, I was just like, I'm done. I'm done with it. I want to be a happy, healthy, present dad. And for that, I can't have drugs or alcohol in my life. And yeah, I don't know. There's something that some people find Jesus in sobriety and through rehab and stuff like that. My little girl is my higher power.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need a higher power. Yeah. That is
she's the catalyst for kind of the last 15 months of success that I've had. And it's the best thing in the world. And I can't wait for you to experience it.
Yeah, man, we're so excited. And just even having our little man in there, just, you know, feeling him kick and, you know, making up his room and all this type of stuff. Like, it's just been, very, very different for me. And I've always sort of had this idea with my career that it has to work. Like, I didn't give myself an option. And I'm working on a book at the moment, and one of the chapters is about being decisively engaged. And it's something that Jocko Willink talks about, who's a Marine or was a Marine, now an author and a speaker.
He was a Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Same thing, is it? I don't know. Pull him up.
Very different. One's military, one's Navy.
So this bloke was or
just
wasn't.
Just because
he'll just go. He's in the water somewhere.
He was. He may have swam.
He's a frogman.
He's a killer.
I think he was a pilot for Jetstar, and he... I think it was Thor. No, Grant Hackett. Sorry.
What a legend.
So Jocko.
Grant Hackett.
Some of the best from Jocko. Anyway, he fucking trying to think of another swimmer. He basically said, you have to win. There's no other option. And that was important for me with my career. It was like, I have to win whatever it is that I'm doing. And I think it's the same for whether it's, you know, you're trying to lose weight or you're going through rehab or you're trying to do well in business or life or whatever, not giving yourself that option is an important one. And you having a kid.
Giving yourself a fallback.
Yeah.
That sets yourself up for failure.
Because he talks.
If I don't do that, I'll just go to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you strive hard enough for that.
Exactly.
You
know what I mean? 100%.
Because Jocko talks about that with getting up. I remember watching him doing questions, and someone said, how do you get up at 3:30 every morning? And it's like, when my alarm goes off, I don't give myself the opportunity to have a debate with myself. I just get on my feet and go down to the gym, and, you know, because he puts the photo up of his watch. He's an incredible man.
Well, hitting snooze, that's an option. If you never take that option, then it's – and that's why, like – if I'm writing and I write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's what I do every week, and I've done it for 4 years, right? For videos, for whatever, for stand-up. like sometimes Claire will be like, okay, you're tired or you haven't done this or we've done this or done whatever, you know, we've just flown in, whatever's going on, you know, let's just take a minute, take a break. I'm like, nah, I have to do it. If I don't do it, then it won't get done. And I give myself that excuse. The next time I'll take the easy option as well.
Yeah.
The path of least resistance is something that humans just love
yeah.
and trying to find it all the time. But it does. It strengthens you when you don't do it.
Yeah. Well, it is a safety mechanism, I think, within the human being makeup, right? You're always looking yeah. for safety in fight or flight or whatever else, but it is. And it's like, you know, some days you have in business, and Bluey, you know this, and well, I guess we all work for ourselves, but it's like, especially in the building and construction industry, like there's days where you just like, I just want to leave my truck there and hope it's burnt the next day because yeah. I don't want anything to do with it ever again. But it is, but it's the same thing where you go, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Everyone would have their own business. And it is, it's one of those things where you're like, you have to just do those things and push through those things because, you know, they're just moments in time. And you realize that once you have your freedom of being able to do what you want and paying yourself and living your life on your terms, it's worth it at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And it happens in so many different ways, whether you're doing scaffolding like you're running your own show, you're working hard every day, like you show me how many calories you've burnt that day and you come in and you're yeah, fucked yeah, and all that. Yeah. Every day he tries to show up. And he you know,
just wondering how many.
Like how many you burnt today?
3,500.
3,500. That's fucking not much in comparison to what you normally do. You're normally doing about 7,000. And that's
I was bludgeoned today.
That's just fucking hanging scaffold in the concrete and game. It's the same yeah. sort of thing. Like, concrete. Fuck
yeah.
Oh boy. That.
Yeah.
Like people, some
both,
people.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing now, Mullet?
Scaffold.
Smart man.
Yeah, he wants a job.
I've got my own youth work business.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking
so boy over there, look after him.
BM.
BM. Yeah, yeah. So how's that going?
Unreal. Yeah. He's come a long way
yep.
since I first got a hold of him, and we couldn't be proud of him. We got him out of, if you don't mind me saying, yeah, got him out of the Glen Rehab last week, and he's just a different kid. So on the way in, he had to do a clean urine
mm-hmm.
and he was a chronic, you know, pot smoke and all that, just sort of mask all the pain he's been through. And he had to do a clean urine to get in. And I went away for 10 days, New Zealand on a cruise. He went through a fair bit of stuff himself, family-wise. And even though I wasn't there, he still done a clean urine to go in. So
awesome. Massive.
I was so proud.
That's great.
Of him. So he's 2.5 months. Clean now.
For how good's that?
A 20-year-old Indigenous kid. It's unreal.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I got that, and then I've got a little side business called Coach AI. Shout out. Are we sponsored by Coach AI? No.
Yeah, Butterfield. 10%. 15%.
Coach AI. So it's like a digital online coaching platform. So we've filmed over 1,000 drills. So if you've got, you know, dads get thrown the coaching role because their son plays for him, like an under eights or under nines, and doesn't know what to do, so he does Red Rover for an hour. We've filmed, yeah, like I said, 100 drills, so like 10 drills with catch passed, 10 drills with tackle tech. So, and then you can plan your session out. We've got diagrams and all that, where to put the markers, a video of the actual thing, then a section where they can give them feedback and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So kids that live rurally or coaches that live rurally, like say Alice Springs, can still get the best coaching that the NRL sort of gets. Wow. So it's really taken off.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's the first digital online NRL coaching platform in Australia. And yeah, so it's going well.
That's massive. And yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, you've got so many dads that are coaching and maybe they don't have any idea, like, you know, where they can start or what they can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can have, you know, from a former NRL player who can show them the basics.
Yeah, the boys are.
There's a stud outfit.
Dennis Moore used to be assistant coach at Manly. There's
oh wow.
Yeah, okay. So there's some good, very good coaches there. So, but then obviously that's the main business model, and then like little branches off the side. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching, so just get refining those skills and that, because I sort of see it as the kids are growing up. So if you're in under 10s and you're a half or 5'8", the coach automatically thinks he knows how to pass and kick because he's a halfback. But they've never actually been shown the right technique. So they get the even 16s or flagging that, and they're still doing their old habits, then they can't kick properly.
Well, in rugby league, there's, you know, there's Harold Matz and there's Jersey Flegg, and they have their, and this is coming from someone who knows fucking nothing about it, but what I'm going to say is they, I was never in those fucking teams, let me tell you that, they had their own way of operating on a football field, or their own drills and their own sort of standards that they expect or they want to teach kids. So yeah, if you can get them into that straight away, 100%. Early on in under sevens, then all of a sudden it's a whole,
that muscle memory.
Where do you see the game of rugby league going? I know that we saw Ponga on the weekend cop that knock, and I wanted to talk about that as far as concussions are concerned. We've spoken about it on the podcast a lot, and I've sort of been very critical of the NRL and how they've handled concussions, because they're very much, you know, they're relying on these tests that may or may not sort of work out whether or not someone's had a head knock or they haven't had a head knock. And when you see someone get concussed, or what you think is concussed, and then they come back on the field because they can remember this, that, or the other, it seems very, it seems like a strange way to deal with it. Like, for someone to cop what is a traumatic brain injury and then come back on the field because they've remembered X, Y, or Z and they've been able to walk in a straight line, it seems arbitrary, right? But now they're saying there's a 11-day stand-down rule they're going to implement, basically because of Kalen and the way that he's copped. Like, where do you even see Ponga going from here? Like, well, I can't.
It's the game that you play. It's the game that you sign on for. I understand, like, you're trying to, you know, look after kids and their futures and whatever else. But I guess at the end of the day, if you're an athlete and you take on the job, you've got to take on what's with it. Well, really, I guess there is a duty of care.
They don't want to get sued in 20 years' time.
100%. And that's what it's come down to, because what people don't understand and recognise is that the NRL is a business. Look, yes, we love the game and the product that they provide, but at the end of the day, it's all about sponsorship money. It's all about making money.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a fucking
shit. There's always going to be another 1,000 kids that want to play.
100%.
Yeah. And they'll just put them in there. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You're just a number.
Oh, case in point, like, you're talking to one of the best who's ever done it, right?
Exactly. Like, do they give a shit about how you're feeling?
No.
Of course they don't. And how that's for 99% of every other ex-player that's ever played.
Yeah. But, you know, like Dallas said, it's a business. Like, you can't. They've got to continue on with their life.
I know. But at what point do you go, okay, well, you know, for how many ticket sales Jared Mullen brought in, at what point do we go, fair enough, at what point?
They're all free. I gave Bluey free tickets.
I wasn't paying for it.
For this revenue that you've brought in and people like you, at what point do they go, well, okay, he's now got a knee injury or chronic arthritis, he can't walk. At what point do they go, okay, well, he needs to sue our insurance company that, you know, we've employed, because they're the ones that's going to look after you.
What about your hamstring, though? Butchered your hamstring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks all right.
You are looking good. You are looking good. You're looking good too.
I thought
you're looking good.
So I'm Schwarzenegger. He's dead.
I always thought Kirk Gidley had the biceps at Newcastle, but you've got some fucking arms on you there, bro.
You wear tight shirts.
It was every year. Every year.
My circulation is cut off.
Every year there was a photo of Gids on the back cover of the sports issue in preseason, and he had these fucking arms on him, and everyone's like, Jesus Christ, he must be juicing. But they got you.
it's beetroot fuck juice and tight jerseys.
There you go.
That's what it's
about. Yeah, fucking. I'll tell you what.
So I don't know what happens to Ponga from here. I feel for him. I feel like if this was Jeff Tuvey in the 90s, it's like, yeah, fuck, see you next week.
McDougal just stepped on his head in the 97 grand final.
And then he's back. Let's keep going.
He still to this day reckons he didn't mean to.
It's like, couldn't have been more deliberate.
He looked it down there and stood in his head and went, I didn't mean to do that.
I reached out to Dukes to come on the podcast. I sent him a spiel about it'd be great to have you on, and he sent me a thumbs up back. That was it. That's all he sent me.
So what do you want about that? No. So time question mark?
I think that means he's king.
No, I was like, okay.
Whenever my mother-in-law writes something stupid to me, that's what I'll give her.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just giving
it. Could be a piss take.
He's like, fuck off, Butterfield, you fucking loser. But get your Papa Macros. Come and talk to me. Talk to me later.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I was a bit tired.
How long was the message? Like, was it a big
spoof? It was a paragraph. I was like, hey, great to see
great
you
to see
the
missus. Great to see you going, well, thumbs up.
Just gave me a thumbs back.
You may as well just done that.
But it wasn't.
Maybe you better say that.
It wasn't even just the thumbs up. It was like the thumbs up you send that's like, it gets a bit bigger the longer you hold the thumb up.
It was the blue thumb.
It was the blue thumb. So he's given it a bit of thought, but Dukes, if you want to come on, 10% off Papa Macro. So yep, but
50% off Coach Oil.
I always used to hear stories about you, Marlo, at like at,
this would be good.
No, like nothing bad, but you always, and I, this has a follow up question of you being in like say King Street Hotel, a nightclub here in Newcastle, and you'd always have a hat on. And you'd sort of be like, sort of hide. And did you feel like there was a lot of people, like, because they knew who you were? What was it like going out there when you were? This is back when rugby league was a much more, you know, new people in Newcastle really cared about their footy club at that point.
Yeah.
Do you feel watched a lot of the time then?
Oh, probably, yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like being out in public, to be quite honest with you. Right towards the back end of my career, obviously, because I was, you know, dabbling here and there, that I like to be inside a house, like behind closed doors with people I trust and stuff like that. So I didn't really like going out. I probably got a bit paranoid and stuff like that by people seeing me too drunk or something like that. So, yeah, that's probably, I don't know why I wore a hat. What a weirdo.
Because I get this and get a bit paranoid about it. Did you ever hear your name a lot? It's weird hearing your full name because if I walk through Woolies, people say my full name. They go, "Oh, Isaac Butterfield."
Yeah, well,
and I hear you hear it. You're like it's just a weird.
On the way here at the petrol station.
Yeah, it was funny. I'm looking at Jay coming out with the monsters, and this dude just double backs like Jared. I assumed, "Oh, it's Jared Mullen."
Yeah, it's weird hearing your name.
Full name. Just call me Jared. Or
yeah, it's weird hearing your full name. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah,
I get your missus to call me Jared Mullen. Oh, Jared Mullen.
Do it in Ray Warren's voice. Oh, Jared Mullen. Look at him go. He's monsters in his hand.
yeah, it is 14. Weird, isn't it?
It is weird. Yeah. And I've never spoken to anyone else about that. Like, you know, it's just a weird thing to hear your full name when you're just walking and you're like, yeah.
They feel like they have to say your full name.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It sounds like there is to you. It's just... I'm just sick of people wanting to get a piece of me.
There you go. Fucking, you do have
just,
a problem.
Just let me live my life, you know? If I'm at King Street...
You're sick of people trying to fight you in public.
He got pulled
on at a coffee shop the other day.
Someone tried to fight me at a coffee shop.
At a coffee shop.
Yeah, the local coffee shop. He said, and I quote, "a funny man." I was like, oh, God.
This would be good.
Yeah. And he said, "Mate, if your missus wasn't here, I'd clean you up."
Did you tell him that you're a two-stripe white belt at Gracie Bar?
Two-stripe?
I mentioned the stripe. I said, "I'm going to pull guard on you, man." And, I just said, "My
hey, wife. Funny man." That's actually
"Hey, footy boy."
Yeah. I didn't know what to say.
You got a joke now, funny boy?
I was like, fuck, man. I tried to you can't explain to people, like, with stand-up, it's hard to explain to people who are already angry at you that, you know, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah.
But he was pretty mad and he was there with his family and his missus was trying to calm him down. And I was there holding my dog and I was just like, I had a coffee. I was like, oh, no.
Was he waiting in line for his coffee?
And he was just sitting down with his family having breakfast.
So you did have a coffee?
He had a coffee. I had a coffee. Yeah, well, you know, we had a lot in common. I thought he would.
We've got
common ground.
Like,
no.
I need my coffee.
You need that caffeine.
I think it's bizarre, Butsy, because like yourself, I'm an avid. You know, I watched Bert Kreischer's special last night. Razzle Dazzle. It's sensational. Nice. He's poor kids and wife. Jesus Christ. But it's like you look at kind of the way the Americans are. Like they're just so cruisy, easy going. But for some reason, this country, everyone's got tall poppy syndrome and it's like, you know, how dare you be funny and successful? I must try and fight you and bring you down.
Well, it's just strange that...
That's what Bluey done to me. First time trying to fight me. How dare you play funny?
It's just weird that people get so mad about jokes.
Yeah.
Like it is, like me saying a joke that may or may not be sexist or racist or whatever.
They generally are, those things.
But they're jokes. Because if you are being genuinely racist, then yeah, you probably you deserve a cop one around the fucking chin. But if you're on stage at a comedy show telling jokes to people.
And you're going to that comedy show to
see it.
Yeah, and you're blown up about it. Why are you actually going to the show?
Well, and particularly when you hear like jokes about other cultures or other people, other whatever, and you laugh at them, but when it's about you get mad. Yeah. That's what shits me. Mm. And what it also annoys me is when people conflate your jokes with what you actually believe.
Yeah.
You know, people might think that I'm this or that or the other. And in reality, it's like, no, man, like I want to see all positive and all happiness and all that type of shit.
Which is quite bizarre because, like, not only are you a stand-up, but you've also got this platform here where, yeah, like there is a bit of banter and carry on, but I think there's a lot of organic, like, organicness to yourself here as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're the first person to kind of give someone a rap. The guests, like the, you know, like Vegan Booty and, like, you know, Geordie and stuff like that. You don't bring a specific type of person on here, like masculine males. There's, you know, females. There's, speak, you know, yeah. Yeah. But I think that in itself, if you've got half a brain, you can see that you're just a genuine organic dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, you tell dick jokes for a living, but that's not who you, like, you're a husband, you're a dog owner, you're a mate, you're a son, like. And people, like, lose all, like, aspect of that because they see this dude on stage telling jokes, getting laughs.
Well, my old man said to me, maybe you need to make it more clear that, you know, there's a part of you that's a stand-up and there's a part of you that's a... But I was like, mate, how do you do that? Like, yeah. With people, if people want to be mad at you, if they want to be offended, if they want to be angry, they will just do it.
They'll just do it, yeah.
Which will be quite funny, I reckon, when you... the contrast to that, when Bubs comes and they see that softer side of you, it'll be quite interesting to see how your audience, especially the females, would turn, because they kind of see you from like a more nurturing parental sort of figure as opposed to, oh, I was at Battlefield, he's just a cunt.
Yeah, yeah, which is literally their opinion.
Yeah, and I read the comments.
Man, I get fucking hammered in the comments. Like, you know, Mullo, if you think you got a bit of heat, Jesus Christ.
I don't read the comment. My mum reads the comments.
Oh,
and then... So on the online stuff, and then she'll ring me to tell me that this person, I said, I don't want to know. This person said this.
It doesn't even have social media.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, thanks, Mum. Anything else? No, see you later. So everyone hates me. Cheers, Mum.
You could always just lean into it. Like, you could start up an Instagram and just have, like, the profile picture of the Coke logo. Just lean into it.
Yeah.
And then if people want to talk shit, then it's all good. Because you push your personal brand. Like, I don't know if this is something you're even interested in, but you push your personal brand. Like, who gives a shit? If people want to talk shit about you, it is what it is. Yeah. Comes with the territory. Yeah. You're a podcast host. Bluey's going to cop some shit. You'll cop some shit for this, that, or the other. Who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah. Mm. Look, at the end of the day, I think, you know, things that are said in moments don't define a person, right? Because everyone can be a cunt in a moment.
Mm.
It's just, you know, that moment someone's just going to screen grab it, copy and paste it and remember it forever.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, look, you know, a lot of people do give Jay a lot of flack, but, you know, you kind of look what he's doing. Like, you know, like Blackmagic's turnaround in the space that he's been here, gay better.
Sorry,
right out.
BM.
Yeah, BM. Yeah. Like, it's amazing.
Is that like the Jewish news, the JM? You just Jewish
yeah.
media.
Yeah.
You have to bleep it out.
Okay. Like, you see what Jay does in the community, and, you know, how far this amazing kid's come. And there's no front page on the Daily Telegraph of that. It's only when he trips and falls and, you know, has hit his head 100 times that they want to plaster him on the front page of the media. But you see the good stuff and amazing stuff that he does now, and it's like, where's that in the media?
And that's the difference between, like, the legacy media, like the papers and that, and what you see on YouTube. Like, people watch this and they go, that's great, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But they won't talk about it. Like, they'll pretend it never happened. You could right now, you could say the most profound thing. And even if it went past...
No chance of it coming from us.
Not from our... It's not on our podcast.
I was about to say it. No, bro, I'm not going to.
Don't. Keep it. Yeah. Keep it for your own podcast. Oh. It's not welcome on our show. You could say the most profound thing and they would pretend that it never happened.
Yeah.
Because it's not through their sort of... Yeah. They're the gatekeepers of this, that and the other.
Well, it's not. It's not. It's not in line with their narratives.
No.
Yeah.
And people, they... I don't know. They have this air of arrogance. I was debating... Well, not debating. I was having an argument with a guy from the Newcastle Herald a while ago about the sports section.
Name?
I can't remember who it was. It was one of them. Anyway.
Oh, that narrows it down.
and
only three blokes at work there.
Because they were trying to like, hey, you got to sign up for the Herald and all this type of stuff. And I commented, I said, this is bullshit. No one's going to fucking sign up. You give it away and then if people want to, you know, if you want to put some advertising, that's how you make money. Yeah. And because my old man was writing for the paper at the time, he said, what, you think your old man's article should just get in for free, people should get it for free? I was like, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Give it out for...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Free, and if then people want to become a part of it, then they will.
Just yeah, like you can with our Patreon for $1 a month.
$1 a month and you get a Patreon. 15% off Packer Macros. But fun of it. Fuck, who gives a shit? But good point though, Bluey. Yeah. You can join the Patreon. You get access to this podcast every single week live when Gabe turns up. Today.
This is a different one.
Too hard.
Not here. Yeah. What a cunt.
And that's one thing I want to do. I want to wrap you boys on as well, and especially self Butsy, like
not Gabe though.
To become so self-sufficient and be your own boss and create what you've created here and have that Patreon subscription, like that is an amazing feat within itself. Sorry to segue, but like I've got to give credit where credit's due. And like between yourself and Jace McAlpine from Gypsy Tales, like the two best podcasts.
Oh, he kills it.
Yeah,
man.
Two best podcasts so in Australia. And like, you know, I've been podcasting for what, 3 or 4 years now, and you guys are like kind of my Rogans of Australia, you know what I mean? You and Jace.
I'll accept
yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. So it's amazing. It's amazing to see someone who puts in the top, because I could only imagine how much time and effort goes into, you know, creating content, being able to put stuff out, and then obviously, you know, adhering to ticking boxes for sponsors and stuff like that. But yeah, it's amazing what you guys do, man. So I just want to give you guys a massive thumbs up.
But it's you know what it's like too. Yeah. Thanks, mate. But you know what it's like too, like when it's something you enjoy, like you do your podcast. It's not like work. Like, I mean, it's different for you because it is work.
Well, it's easy for like, yeah, it's easy for Bluey. He just turns
but
up.
Like, someone like you, but like, you know what it's like.
You're blowing up. Hey? Trying to get in today, you're blowing up.
Well, I was halfway to your house.
Yeah. I'm sorry my wife is having a baby, mate. Yeah. Sorry to be a disappointment.
I'm mad at anyone, I'm mad at Claire. No, but what I was going to say is, like, you know, like...
It's constipation.
Sorry, Claire. It's like an outlet. Like, it's like a creative outlet. So it's not like... But it's different for you because it is your job.
Well, it is. And for us,
it's like, it's still fun. But for, I would imagine
fun,
for you...
It's still fun. Like, it's still fun for me.
But it's like a job. Like, if I don't feel like doing it, for example, like, if you don't feel like doing it 1 week... It doesn't matter if you don't do it. You just didn't.
But I don't not do it. Because if I give myself an out, I will always take... Yeah. I've always been weak like that.
Yeah.
Like I've always been... Don't agree with me. I've always been really weak like that.
Piss weak. Like,
I will always take the easy one out. If I give myself an out, I'll take it. So that's why you can't do it.
And that's what I was...
Always been like that.
Always been like that. With footy, with training, with whatever, whether it's diet, I've always taken the easy option.
Yeah, I've been letting you do that.
I don't know. He's extremely driven. That's why he got to where he is. He's just an old tough prick, you know.
Yeah.
He's with very, very different personalities. Well, I mean, similar personalities, but different sort of different styles, people. I think. Very different people. Yeah. But I think that's good in a way. I mean, if I was like him, I wouldn't be in the position that I am now. He, you know, obviously he's not a humorous person whatsoever, but
he's pretty funny the other week about him. I didn't mind it.
You reckon?
He's very well groomed.
What about his hair?
He looks good. Yeah, he's very, there's a bit of Clooney. There's a bit of George Clooney.
Mate, I was looking at his, I'm going, look how thick that is.
It is pretty thick.
It's thick.
You were jealous.
I was jealous.
He had the best hairline by a mile when he was on with us.
Oh, so yeah. He once dyed it. He come home and he had grey hair, and then he came home and he had brown hair.
Oh, that's not cool.
And mum was just filthy.
That looks
great with the white beard. He looks like
I've been
Gordon
trying
Ryan.
To get him to grow a nice
Gordon
white beard.
Gordon Ryan. The king.
Shout out to Gordon
King
Ryan.
Gordon.
He's
a lunatic.
How much fucking juice is he on? He is huge.
On everything. Well, I'm the opposite. I'm B team. I'm Craig Jones.
So. Because Craig Jones.
Yeah. Like Craig Jones. Well, actually, I was supposed to have his brother on my podcast today to do a check-in with him, with AJ, but... I end up having to look after my daughter. But, those guys, like, you look at Craig, like, as you said, like, lean into it. Like, Craig's won 2 silver medals at ADCC. And he's got, like, Jordan Burrows has got always gold and he's got always silver. And it's like, in his promotions, he's like, if you want to become the second best in your weight category, come and train at the B team.
But that's what it's all about. That's fucking leaning into it. I'm telling you. Like, people just don't, and this would be sort of what you would be told about in media training back at the Knights, you know, like if with the NRL, they teach you how to deal with the media. But it's all completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you give them sound bites.
Deal with the media. Credit the boys.
Well, how boring is that shit?
Yeah, credit the boys.
1 week
Forwards
at a time.
Went forward. We scored more points than opposition. Thanks for that.
Yeah. So what's the point of asking these questions? I've said this for years. Like the NRL needs like a Conor McGregor. Someone to go out there and just like say, no, I'm going to fucking take I'm playing Jarrod Weir Hargraves this weekend. I'm going to take his fucking head off.
Yeah.
That's first tackle. I'm going to, like, how many tickets does that sell?
Or even back in the day, they would have said that. Like,
for
back
sure.
Back in the 80s and 70s.
Spud Carroll, Chief, yeah. Martin Bell, aren't those?
That's how they sold games.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You, those rivalries. They don't have those rivalries.
They still talk about it now, 30 years later.
Mate, I watched every single NRLW game last year. I watched the Origin. That was it in the men's.
Origin was wild last year.
It was good.
Do you remember the old interview? You seen those old interviews that come out with like Brent Todd? And they ask him like, remember Brent Todd? He played for Canberra and they said,
Brent Todd. Brent,
he just signed with the Gold Coast Seagulls at the time. They said, Brent, how come you've moved to the, how come you moved, but like those ones?
Yeah.
They said, how come you've come up to the Gold Coast? And he goes, the meter maids are all really good looking and I want to fuck them all. and he said it. And there's ones of like Wally Lewis. He's like, I've got to feed the chooks at your fucking Christmas. Like he's just giving it to these journos. It's all on video. But that's like, imagine if that happened now.
It's because the news is brought to you by Pfizer.
That does my head in because I know footballers and I know how they actually sort of think. Like they want to inflict pain on the blokes they're playing against. They want to hurt people, particularly forwards and that type of shit. But they just have to pretend that they're serious, businessmen. It's just gross. I think that's why a lot of people move away from the game. I'm not interested. I watch the Knights play because I love the Knights. That's the only reason, right? I was brought up like that. Unfortunately, that's how I'll always be. It's a tough life. And my son's going to cop the same shit because he's already got a Knights jersey, that poor fucking thing. Now,
I bought him a card too, just call
it. A card?
Have you got him or have I?
What do you got?
I don't know, really.
Oh, go on, your mullet.
Hey, what do you got? Oh, in card savers too.
Yeah. Oh, you love cards.
Yeah, I do love cards. Worth about
$3 on eBay.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, mullet.
There you go.
That's silky. Yeah.
Fucking oath. Yeah. Some beautiful.
One's for Bluey.
I'm basically like his manager. I'll get him. He's got all this stuff. I'm like, mate, sign it and give it away to people. People will respect that.
That's sick.
I'm gonna see what I've got.
We're exchanging gifts now.
No, I don't
give him a face mask. I bought one.
Hey, while Bucky's rummaging for prezzies, I actually was excited to have you guys on and talk about the sobriety journey.
Yeah,
because like, obviously we've alluded to it, but I don't mind partying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has crossed my mind from time to time. Not that. Like, you know Steve-O from Jackass?
Yep.
I listen to Steve-O a fair bit. Like, he does Wild Ride. Oh, he's obviously been clean.
Great podcast too.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And he talks about like, he's like, and I know like a lot of like sobriety and your journey in sobriety is about gratitude. Like, it becomes about gratitude. And Steve-O talks about he's grateful for hitting that rock bottom, kind of like what you guys did in a way and how it led to that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was just sort of interested in like your own journey. Like, did you follow, you know, there's like the 12 steps. I remember I read Russell Brand's book. Like it's kind of his take on the 12 steps. I kind of got kind of a loose idea of what it works. Did you just follow like a 12-step program to it? You stick to that or just some?
People get clean their own way. Like I find a higher power, I do the 12 steps. I tried the 12 steps and it didn't really work.
Yeah.
Like I just didn't really buy into it. I just got to a point where like I've got a 3-year-old daughter now and what drives me is she'll never see her dad drunk or off his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's... Yeah, they call it white knuckling it, where you're sort of just doing it like, I'm not going to use. But still do meetings and stuff like that, go to NA meetings and just listen to other people's, you know, stories and stuff. Because you seriously think you're the only one going through it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm the only fucking loser going around. Yeah. And someone will stand up and tell your story and you just go, you know, there's other people sort of, you know, struggling that. But every day gets easier. It seriously does. Yeah. Like, every day you wake up clean, like Sunday mornings and that, you can actually enjoy Sunday mornings rather than... You know,
Sundays are a great day, and a lot of people miss out on that because they're off their fucking head on Saturday.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd miss the whole. I'll go on Friday and like get home Monday and just hate myself like till Friday,
and then go again. Just in time to go again.
Yeah, and then love myself again, and then hate myself again. I was just like, it's just such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Well, I guess from my perspective, I want to shout out to my Monday night meeting, the Heartbeat at Toronto. That's my NA home group. So. Same thing, you know, I guess there's, for me it was like I don't have any desire to drink or drug again and, you know, I'm quite proud of that. But in terms of the 12 steps, No, I didn't follow anything. It was just for me, it was like I had enough. I'd done it, like my life was amazing and I wanted to keep it on that same trajectory and grow it even further. But that's not to denial that there is still underlying issues. You know, Stevie Morris, I'll quote this all day, you know, one of the greatest men. You guys got to have him on this podcast. He's an amazing human being. You can jump in the river and try and save someone from drowning, but you need them to swim to the bank and walk to the start of the river and like figure out why they jumped in the river to start with. Mm. You know, for me, it was, you know, a lot of underlining childhood trauma. You know, I did a podcast with Matt Clark on Clark's Corner, and I gave an hour and a half overview on my journey and kind of how I got to where I am today. But that's just it, you know what I mean? And you have to understand what your why is, what your purpose is, like in anything in life. But as Jazz said, like, I love Sunday mornings with my girls. Mm. You know, if we have a sleeping, we have a sleeping, we get up, we walk the dogs, we go for coffee, we go to the beach, we go to the markets. And, you know, by 12 o'clock, you're home, you have something to eat, Bubs has a sleep, you do some chores for the truck or whatever else. And then, you know, you chuck the footy on at 3, or, you know, you have a family sleep, or, you know, you watch a movie together. Like, Sundays for me is all about the Stone family. Yeah. And that's just what it's about, where, you know, I wouldn't come home till Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Look, Blue, like, don't get me wrong, like, looking back, you had some fun times. Like,
100%.
You do have some great memories, and then sometimes you do miss sitting around, like say, like at a pub, just having a beer, just with the boys. Where I can do that now sober, but you sort of still do miss that. But it's like, I know I can't go for a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Like some blokes can go, I'm going for 3 beers going home. Yeah. Nah, if I have one beer, that's it.
It's 2 days.
I'm having one sip of beer, right? I make the phone call, let's go, you know? Yeah. And then it's just, I won't stop until I can pretty much cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so 100%.
It's just, if I don't start, I'm never going to do
it. Then
it's
not going to be an issue.
Yeah, but we've got some great memories, mate.
100%. And that was the other thing I was going to say. Like, so did you find when you made that decision, how did it affect you socially, I guess? Like, because I know, like, circle of mates.
Circle of mates, you scared.
Well, I went on a very inward journey, and kind of at that time when I made that decision when my daughter was born, the person we're speaking about before, you know, his former best mate, and they'd come back together after 3 years of not talking, and then that's how Jay and I met, and then, you know, I met Stevie Morris. So I was quite lucky that I went super like introverted and away from everything, because it was like, you know, I just need to do my own thing now. But I was so blessed at the same time that I brought someone like Jared into my life, you know, Stevie Morris, and, you know, the three of us, you know, Stevie, 6 years, you were, you know, kind of 3 years at the time, and, you know, I was, you know, going through my stuff. Like, I was lucky that, you know, I removed myself from these people, but I gained these amazing people, strong men who, you know, gave me support as well. So, I don't know, it goes through stages. I'm at the point now, like Jared, like I can go to the pub, I can go to the boxing, I can go to any event. Yeah. And all the boys have respect for me, where they're just like, you know, I'll like, boys, I'm driving, I'll come pick yous up. And they'll buy me like a 10 pack of mini Coke Zero cans, or, so, you know, make sure that they're...
Lucky you said Coke Zero. Then.
Yeah. Or, you know...
You're doing it wrong, Dallas. That's not even...
A 4-pack of Monsters or something like that. So I'm quite lucky from that perspective as well. But yeah, like it is like... At the end of the day, it comes down to you. Like, if you're going to keep going out with guys who are going to keep trying to put stuff out in front of you, it's up to you whether you keep putting yourself in that position, because I guess at some stage you're going to break, so you've got to remove those people from your life.
For sure.
I've been saying that too. Like, I look down on people who still do that at all. No. Like, everyone goes through their own journeys. They can do what they want, but I'm in my own journey now, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know I don't want to go back down that path, but I don't look at people on it and go, oh, look at you, you know what I mean? Like, I've got empathy for them.
I do. I look down
at them. You look down?
Yeah, it's because you're tall. No, definitely not.
Do you think it's got something to do with football culture, or is it just bloke culture?
Well, I guess from my perspective was trauma, you know, childhood trauma, you know, going through... You know, broken homes and being homeless at 13, running away from home at 13 and stuff like that. So from my perspective, it was trauma. And I guess if you look at yours was traumatic as well.
Yeah, obviously started before all that sort of shit happened, but it just spiraled way out of control. I could not leave the house without being off my head in some way, say like on Oxycontin or Coke or something like that, because, you know, in Newcastle, like small town, I'm thinking – oh, that bloke's talking about, like, people are probably just having coffee talking about hating you.
Yeah. So there's every chance. That's every chance.
I'm like, no, they're talking about
my last 2 months of it.
So that's what I think. I'll be that paranoid. So I'll just have to be. Yeah, but yeah, everyone's. Yeah, that's the way I also.
Everyone's journey is going to be different, Blue. You know what I mean? But you know, from my perspective, it was by far the best thing I ever did, and it's made me a much better human being. And that's the biggest compliment you can get, is when the people closest to you see you be able to deal with something where you might have carried on and chucked a tantrum, where you can actually process that and handle that like an adult now. Like that's where it's the most rewarding for me. It's not the money saved or the health or anything like that. It's the people who I love and respect the most, when they can see the change in you and go, proud of you, you know, you're handling stuff
a lot better. Because you've got a clear mind. You know when you're coming down, like off 3 days, and then a problem comes up, it's only that big, but it's the worst
thing. Mountain out of a molehill.
I can't deal with this now. Yeah. But when you're sober, it's like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean?
I always get it like, because you know, you go like over the festive period, like Christmas and stuff, and all you're doing is eating and drinking, you're out with the boys and whatever. And then I always have a big detox. I always have 6 or 8 weeks. And I always go like, you could feel like this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know what it's like? Once you get like 5 weeks off, you're just like, your productivity, like everything's just like, oh, this is mad.
And then do you go reward yourself for that?
It depends, mate. Like there's usually a couple of birthdays around then. But I'll be like, oh, I haven't had a drink for a while. Like I'll go and have a tear.
Yeah, yeah.
But like just that feeling of like, and then I think like, oh, you could actually be like that all the time.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure everyone's like, you know what it's like, your head's foggy. Yeah. And then you usually back it up with like a few shit feeds as well. And you don't train. Yeah. And like,
you look like shit.
Yeah, and then you hate yourself.
Yeah,
Well, I may as well hit the kernel again. Like it's just like, it's just that cycle.
It is.
Like,
it's a negative feedback. I mean, I barely drink. Like very rarely.
Alcohol everywhere.
That has been there for ages. I barely I might have 2 or 3 beers on stage when I'm touring, and that's it. And that's because I need to work every day.
Yeah.
And if I don't work every day, then I fall behind.
I was going to ask you that, Butty. In terms of like being able to, do you have the drink to settle your nerves or to somewhat get on the same level as the crowd?
No, I can do it. I can do it either way. It doesn't help me settle the nerves. Yeah. I've only been pissed on stage once, and that was in Fremantle. I was drinking doubles of whiskey. And I did 2 hours on stage because I was off my head. I was just talking absolute shit and I just kept going. And I just got in some mad argument with some bloke in the front row.
Sounds like a great set.
It just went on and on. Like the first 45 minutes killed it. The rest of it. Like,
I thought it was going to go for an hour. It was
a Sunday night too.
Fuck you.
There was a bloke at suicide watch for 3 days.
Oh, man. I've said some horrible things.
What do you reckon about like, an idol of yours, like Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
And he was right up it for the bulk of his career. And he's stopped drinking and taking drugs, but just smokes pot now.
Mm-hmm.
Cali sober.
Yeah. Is that what? Yeah, is that
Cali sober? Yeah.
So what's your take on that? Because I thought that was quite interesting because he was like very loose.
Well, I don't know. I guess from my perspective, is that he's a pretty highly strung dude, right? Like,
yeah.
And his energy as a performer is intense. Mm. It's like an hour of. Fuck, this guy's brutal. But I don't know. I guess you get to a point in life where if you're running that hot and lean all the time, like I used to be proud of being idling at 75. Like people go, how'd you go 0 to 100? Like, mate, I fucking idle at 75. I'm ready to go anytime. When
Dale Silva.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we're all friends.
When now I'm like, I'm the opposite. I'm like, man, I want to be 10 and 20 and just cruising, you know what I mean? I think you just get to a stage where you fucking get...
But you got to learn how to do that too. Yeah. Like this is something I was saying before, my old man, he's very, like he's always been, you know, very fired up and ready to go and all that type of stuff. He grew up, you know, basically in the ghetto of Penrith. But now he's all about, we were talking about this the other day, breathing and, you know, meditation. And the other day we were at the Charlie's Run for Kids, which is the hat I'm wearing, the charity that they run from Seals Rocks to Dudley. Yeah. They raise 180K. Ooh. Amazing work.
Shout out to Benny Neal and Jess Hollier. Yeah, Benny from Newey Burger Co.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Put in massive efforts.
Amazing.
His son Zave, yeah.
Yep. And my little brother Darcy, he ran it as well, and he was on fire. And this big, he's bigger than me. He's
fucking, what is it? 150 kilometers or something?
150 Ks, yeah. Yeah. And he wasn't able to run the whole thing because they have to have certain insurances to run on the roads. So he was only able to do the off-road stuff.
Okay.
Good way to get out of it.
150 Ks.
It's big. I was talking about this with a mate of mine, Stretch, and he was saying, oh, everyone's so sore. I reckon it would be easier to run it in 2 days, hear me out, rather than 5 days. Because 5 days in, you've got to be so fucking sore.
Dorms, yeah.
Like, yeah, your knees are gone. All the inflammation's caught up with you. But anyway.
Just do it in one hit then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Cam Haynes style. Where was I fucking going with that? Yeah, they do a great job.
Great job, yeah.
I had a point, but they do a great job.
Oh, you're talking about your dad with breathing.
Right, so yeah, we're out there. They have this big, like everyone in Dudley gets out and they have about 1,000, maybe 1,500 people there. And he's just in the middle of them, on the ground, knees up, arms up above his head, laying down, like nothing's worrying him. Everyone's like looking at him, he's like, "Is he all right?" He's laying on the ground.
Yeah, Vassal.
He looked like, I'll find the photo because it's quite funny. He was just like, everyone's like, "Well, who the fuck is this prick and what is wrong with him?"
He's a very knowledgeable man.
He's a very smart guy.
He's very wise.
Yeah. Man, very well read. Like, just if you ask him a question on anything, he'll give you. This was him the other day. Like, everyone's just sort of, have a look at that.
Yeah, I would have thought something was wrong.
He was just laying there. This is like 1,000 people around. And he's just laying there.
He's done a hemi.
He's just.
He did have a heart attack.
Is that Kalen Pong after the stroke?
The third one.
The third one.
Pong it down.
Kalen's management team, please do not sue me. I did hear it somewhere.
I'm running with it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gospel.
It's got nothing. Yeah. I disagree.
Did you find when you got so, you know, did you find like if I'm not boozing, right, if I have a weekend off the food, off the grog, I'll treat myself to some mad food?
Mm.
Did you find you were substituting because you say off the sauce or off whatever?
The addiction.
Did you replace it at all?
Gym, like working out. I have to go to the gym in the mornings, get it over and done with just because it starts my day well. If I don't go to the gym in the morning, I've
what
shit
time
day.
Do you go to the gym?
4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Really?
Get up before your addiction gets up, they say.
Yeah.
So
that's mad.
Yeah. Every morning, 4 to 6, and then actually go to another gym after that. Yeah. Then pick up BM at 7:30. We have nothing but fun, don't we, cuz?
So why don't you get up at 4?
He just goes to sleep.
You're asleep. it's a pretty fair answer.
I'll pick him up at what time to pick up? It's 5:45. Something like that.
That's pretty early.
Yeah, to come up here. All up here and it got cancelled. I wasn't angry.
He was asking for fuel money, eh? I completely forgot you were in the Gong. I was like, he'd be
fake Steel City.
I thought you were in Central Coast, but obviously not.
From my perspective,
I still have petrol money, surely.
100%. You got a shirt. It says Peace in the Middle East on it. It's a drawing with me, Osama bin Laden, and... Yeah,
perfect.
And Saddam Hussein,
three terrorists.
There you go.
Yeah, I was the same. I got to blue belt. I got my purple belt last year, but I just went headfirst into jiu-jitsu. I'd started to drop weight, started to become more athletic, feeling better. So yeah, jiu-jitsu became my healthy addiction, I guess. So,
anything to tame the demons in the mind. That's how I sort of think about it with the shit that I like with my panic attack disorder, all that shit. Mine is work, training, and family.
Yeah.
And if I get all those things in order, then it's pretty quiet.
Yeah, 100%. I say this a lot. Like, I've got ADHD. And.
No way.
What's that?
No way.
And. Like, I get. When we get rained out at work, because pumping concrete. No word of a lie is like the only, it feels like the only moment where I'm present because you have to be on, right? Like you got 20 grand's worth of concrete that you're putting in. You know, these guys want it in on time. You know, then you're dealing with elements, whether it's got color in it, whether it's got, you know, whatever else. But those, I get upset more about the rain days out because I love that feeling of presence and the hard work and that feeling of like accomplishment. Because I can get lost, mate. I can get 10 hours, 12 hours screen time sometimes. If I get rain day, like I'll just sit there and just scroll
PH
for no reason. Yeah. So That's why like I love, you know, working and then also jiu-jitsu as well, because it's like I'm not a very cerebral jiu-jitsu player. They call me the chief goon at Ronin Jiu-Jitsu.
I'm glad you said goon then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, you shut up. Well, you don't say anything.
You gotta play to your strengths, right? Like I'm not gonna, you know, play the way these little guys play. Like I play very goonish jiu-jitsu.
That's goon with a G.
Yeah, with a G, yeah. Yeah. So
no comment.
I'm just trying to motor through this. Yeah.
See, Bluey hasn't been cancelled, so yeah. He thinks it's all fun and games. I can't wait till you get done for sexual assault or something, you cunt. You'll cop it. You'll cop it. Don't worry about that.
But jiu-jitsu is definitely one of them.
What are you saying?
Jiu-jitsu is definitely one of them. And shout out to our club, you know, Running Jiu-Jitsu, Matt Lynch. You know, they do. We have the most amazing team. There's no bullshit. There's none of this bowing, lining up. You wouldn't even know who's what belt in our gym. And it's just a really, like I say to this to the younger boys all the time, I'm like, you know, I played in good football teams and you got to cherish the moments when you have those teams together because it doesn't always last. And at the moment, we've just got this killer room with good dudes, good vibes and amazing coaches. But yeah, that's definitely one thing for me. Like, you know, Rogan talks about it all the time, and unless you do jiu-jitsu, you don't really know, but it's like you're so present in that moment and with that other person. It's almost like podcasting one-on-one. Like you just get into this flow state with this other human being.
Time just disappears, which is
addictive. Like you want more of it. It's awesome.
I found that it's a great way to learn how to deal with like extreme stress. Like if someone's like, you know, on top of you, some giant dude, and you can remain calm even though it feels like the whole weight of the world's coming.
I'm sorry, I've got
Pride up. Week's just finished. If you've got a massive dude on top of you,
play on.
I'm with you. I'm there.
And you can still remain calm.
I could, definitely. Not too calm.
I was actually going to...
keep your heart rate down.
Where are you going with this?
And remain erect.
I'm getting
for that entire time. That is a real man. It does. Hard. It teaches you how to deal with like real tough situations.
Yeah.
Real hard situations. Hard, yeah. Like tough, you know.
And I guess the good thing about
sexy situations.
The good thing about grappling as well, like, you know, no-gi, especially like no-gi grappling, like it is very, very fast-paced and very scramble-like, but it actually really does teach you, and you don't get the trauma like you do in striking. Like when you do a fair bit of striking, like, and someone slips one through and you get concussions, right? Like you do get like knee tears and stuff like that in jiu-jitsu, or, you know, strains, and it is pretty physical, but I feel
it's
like...
It's a tap and it's done.
Yeah, you can be a lot more like lively and go through more tough situations regularly running the risk of a head trauma.
You
can
be going 100% against someone and it can be over in a hot second and no one's hurt.
Yeah.
Do you, like, this is something I really want my little fella to get into is jits.
Yeah.
I'm worried about footy with him just with head knocks. I know I've had head knocks and stuff, and my epilepsy is not to do with football, but my neurologist said it's not going to help. So I retired. Particularly if I have to speak for a living, so it's not really great. But I feel like it's not great. I don't think Pong will be doing too many fucking after dinner speaking gigs. The poor prick.
Stroke.
But he did not have a stroke. Where's the camera? There's only one camera working. That's what I was doing before, moving cameras around, because our fucking producer didn't turn up. BM's now the producer.
Producer BM.
Producer BM.
It's taking a minute.
Go back to the bit about the goon.
Botty said.
And the big topics on this show.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, I also don't know what I was talking about. I haven't
eaten today. Kid doing jiu-jitsu as opposed to playing footy.
Your little girl, do you think she'll do jiu-jitsu?
Mate, two things that the three things. She'll have no choice but to play piano. She comes from, you know, her grandfather being an amazing penis.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah. Her grandmother is assistant professor of music at the University of Newcastle. I guess music's definitely going to, it's definitely not from me. I'll give you the red hot tip. She got blue eyes from me. That's all about she got. But gymnastics and jiu-jitsu will be, you know, body awareness and the ability to be able to protect yourself. Man, and because
massive.
If you look into any kind of schooling or anything like that, bullies normally get bullied at home,
mm-hmm.
so they bully at school, and bullies seek out fear. And yeah. someone who's fearless will not be bullied, and that will be my girl. I want my daughter, I want to be the father that says to the boyfriend, mate, I'm not going to tell you to watch out for me, you just watch out for her. Like, you fuck up, yeah, you're going to sleep.
You'd still be watching out for you, I reckon.
What's that?
You'd still watch out for you.
Yeah. You don't mean it, you're obviously...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but like 100%, like, you know, jiu-jitsu, like I'm just...
Message you. Yeah, mate, don't fucking watch out for me.
Never got to worry about me, you're like, I feel like I do.
Standing over him.
I could be Cali sober by then, I might be just smoking.
Yeah,
no, 100%. No, I'm joking. No, but like that's the first thing I wanted to do because, you know, I'm five and a bit years into my jiu-jitsu journey and it's definitely... I want to say it's made me a better person. Yeah, it really has because I used to think I was a bit of a hothead back in the day. I used to do a lot of street fighting. You know, as I said, the 75 to 100 thing where now it's like, you know, I have empathy and respect for other human beings and I want to help people and bring people up and I want to be able to protect people as opposed to being the scared little boy. And that's all it is. And I think that's what martial arts teaches you. It teaches you that there's always someone bigger and better or smaller and better. And being humbled by giving a tap. And that's one thing I've learned as, you know, going from a blue belt to a purple belt too is man, I spend one night a week training, putting myself in bad positions. And it's, you know, there's no ego there. If one of the our blue belts or white belts tap me because I put myself in a position where, you know, I need to work my, but that's it, remaining calm. Like I need to remain calm and problem solve. How do I remove myself from this position? But how am I going to become a better purple belt and a better jiu-jitsu player and a better human if I don't put myself in horrible positions and just keep smashing everyone every week?
You got to be able to go through this this pain of being humbled. And I think that comes from doing things like jiu-jitsu or people talk about with ice baths, you know, like they're like, okay, it's a shit situation for 2 or 3 minutes. And if you can deliberately put yourself into it, then all of a sudden you're starting to learn these things about yourself. And I think the introspection that you both have gone through, and Bluey, maybe you've gone through it with different things. I know I've been through it with issues in my life, is an important lesson. Even BM, the things you're going through at the moment are important things for you to learn about for the rest of your life. And going through them at a young age may seem shit at the time, but you don't have to deal with them when you're 30.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're dealing with them now, and it's a positive thing for you to step over. And it's also something you're going to teach your kids, you're going to teach your girl, your kids, my kids. The whole thing is going to be lessons and struggles that you went through, you dealt with, and you know how to teach the rest of the people that you're going to be around for your next 50, 60, 70 years you're on this earth about these problems that you face, you dealt with, and you navigated. And without that, then it just sort of goes down that family line. If you don't learn how to deal with it, then it's now your daughter's problem to deal with.
Yeah,
your kids.
Yeah, you've got to deal with it yourself.
There's got to be somewhere you say no.
You've got to get yourself right before you help anyone else.
100%. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And you see a lot of people that are fake with this type of shit, TikTok and Instagram, people who are just full of shit, like, you got to do this, you got to do that, when they've never dealt with anything themselves.
Yeah.
So why would you listen to them?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yes, Blue.
I'm listening to Jordan Peterson at the moment.
How is that book going, mate?
It's so... I've got 12 Rules for Life.
12 Rules for Life, yeah.
It's... Well, first of all, I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it.
He cheaped out and listened. Well,
it's so hectic. It's so long. First of all, if that's what's going through his head all the time, no wonder he's on the benzos. Because that's fucking nuts. It's nuts. But I love that there's a chapter about making sure you got everything right before you start blaming the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, plenty of people are very quick to say, oh, it's this and that, but like...
Well, there's so many people that blame that
shit. Get your own shit in order and then see what's wrong.
Else's fault.
Yeah. The majority of people do that. Yeah. They go, oh, I want to blame this person, that person, X, Y, Z, when in reality, you know, what are you doing? You know, are you overweight? Are you smoking too much? Are you doing this? Are you actually working on all these... Bluey's ticking off everything. And if you're not doing that, then who are you to try and, who are you to raise a child? Who are you to tell people they should or shouldn't be doing it? Who are you to yell at someone for putting graffiti on a wall or just anything? Yelling at someone for throwing something out of their car. Who the fuck are you? So you need to have that shit in order.
I'm driving along yesterday and my missus beats herself up a fair bit because she's not performing at the level that she was, you know, before baby, right?
Right.
And, you know, she got sat down by one of the managing partners, and he said, it's so amazing to have you back. There will be a promotion. So, she sent me a message and saying, I've got this work meeting Wednesday. And I'm like, look, I'll take Bubs. Go to your meeting in Sydney, whatever else. And so she's texts me back, and I'm like, I'll just voice record because it's just easy. And, I start telling her how much of an amazing human being she is, amazing mother, amazing partner. And then I out of the corner of my eye, I just see this lad at the bus stop in Toronto on the main street with this tomato sauce bottle just coating the seat.
While you're doing the voice recording?
Yeah.
This is going to be amazing.
Look, I'm not sure how much you actually do for us, but you do a hell of a lot. I'm as temperamental as...
No, I'm fast because
it's not what you're
for. I'd well and truly just... I'm so proud of you, Lucy. Seriously, you are just so amazing as a mother.
It's beautiful.
As a partner. What are you doing, cunt?
Oh God!
You did not get it.
Where's my fucking key?
I'd have enough.
Brother, what are you doing? What part of your mind thinks that's a smart idea? What's that? It wasn't. That's fucking stupid, mate. Old ladies have to sit here. Brother, that's dumb. What are you doing?
And as I say that, a bus pulls up and four old ladies jump off of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah.
So I'll let them go.
That's so good.
Seriously, mate. That is probably one of the stupidest things you could do.
That's so awesome.
If you weren't a kid, I'd probably fucking slap you.
How old was he?
He would have been like 18, 19. Oh, so textbook lad. Like
So
matching Nike tracksuit with No. He actually had ASICS Carianos on, but the same blue that was on his tracksuit was on his pants. So it was on his shoes, and then the Gucci hat.
30
and the
degrees in a tracksuit.
It was raining yesterday. But
sorry for Wollongong.
So and he had a Gucci hat, Gucci bum bag at the bus stop at Toronto. But
killing it.
But like
as BM's wardrobe you're describing.
And to my defense, I thought when you recorded after you lifted your thumb off, it stopped recording. So I've jumped down. I've still got my phone in my hand.
Thank God you did.
And then I realized it was recording, and I went to delete it, and I sent it to Lucy.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that's I've great. Had to ring her and go, look, it's kind of a bit of a me episode. I've gone from, awesome. 0 to 100 real quick. So. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, the idling thing you're talking about. You weren't idling. You were just...
No, but you did the right thing. Someone needs to tell that kid to pull his fucking head in.
Butties, what the most frustrating part of that was that directly across the road is a Service New South Wales with a security guard at the front of it. I mean, 15 metres across the road. I stop in the middle of the road, block traffic, and I get out and give this kid a serving, right? And then as like I'm walking away, he looks at me like, good on you, mate. I'm like, this is your job, dude. I'm fucking in thongs, shorts, and a t-shirt. You've got the whole
kit. You're the reason this prick's here.
Yeah. Fucking useless twat.
And we drove past the bus all the way, and there's still tomato sauce.
Everywhere, man. Everywhere.
Oh, you didn't wipe it off?
No, I made him wipe it off.
He rubbed his nose like a little dog.
But there was a line of traffic, and I was like, kind of had the moment where I'm like, mate, you're not here to save the world. Fucking carry on with your own.
That is our story. Where was this? Yeah. So in Toronto?
Yeah, it was on.
I was in Toronto yesterday looking at my partner's, her brother's buying a house out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately
yeah.
for them.
Yeah, we're at Cold Point. So right. I've gotten I knew I was coming on today, so I went and got a quick,
Oh, looking good.
Dad and Dave and a haircut.
Well, I'm sorry the camera's all fucking failed.
Sorry, mate.
There's only one working at the moment.
Yeah, that's all good. So, and then I'm in this moment of, giving my missus a bit of a rap, and it was just like, I'm like, I would have to be the only person who was seeing this. because I don't know, I look at things from a micro perspective, and I just say,
so everyone will see, but I just would have driven past, went, oh.
But that's why kids are the way they are today, mate, because no one's going to pull them up on it. And look, at the end of the day, I don't think I'm Jesus or anything like that, but I hope that kid does not fucking do that again, because it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you know, there's people who don't have the luxury of driving a car, or they're too elderly and they don't have, especially around Cole Point, around that area, there's a lot of elderly and retirees, right? So public transport, they rely on it. And you've got a lady with a cane who can't stand up and there's fucking sauce all over the seat.
Oh, yeah. It's
like, what you do, that was your mum or your grandma, you dickhead.
It takes someone to, you know, to make a change in someone's life, and maybe, you know, he might think about that. I mean, he's a lad, so his life's probably over anyway. But
as soon as you left, he kept going.
Just finish the bottle.
He broke out the barbecue sauce
this time. Oh, he's not going to like this.
But you know, if no one does anything, then nothing ever changes.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the talk about Dallas. It's like, it calls the ACs. He's staunch.
I grew up in a way where it's like, you know, it is what it is, you know what I mean? And it doesn't mean that I'm higher than anyone or whatever else, but I have zero tolerance for fucking stupidity.
And yet you're on this show.
Yeah.
What can I say?
How ironic.
How ironic. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the show. I got to put a stop to it for two reasons. Married at First Sight's on the telly upstairs.
Oh, is it?
So we've got to get home.
We've got to get Bronson. He's a Derek.
Harrison, but yes.
Oh, Bronson.
Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
Isn't there a footy player called Bronson Harrison?
Bronson Harrison.
Yeah. He's a big boy. I like him. I wasn't saying you, Bronson. Harrison. He's a Derek. Get him on the show.
Yeah, he's next. We'll bring you in and you can have a fucking... You can.
I'll squirt tomato sauce all over him. Thanks for having us, mate.
Joe Mullen, Dallas Stone, I appreciate you. And
tell them about your podcast again.
To the Point Podcast, available where all podcasts.
Yeah, To the Point Podcast, available on all your podcasting platforms. Mate, go look at your fucking DMs from me. I've messaged you 100 times.
I bet they say scene 2 and there's nothing back.
Yeah, nothing back.
The McDougal thumb.
Didn't they used to call Dougs the thumb too?
I don't know.
Maybe that's just his calling card. I would like to say also that we've been exchanging text messages, but I didn't know anything about you.
Yeah.
So you've actually been texting Claire's phone. So I will send you my number. And you've been texting the missus.
That's fucking ordinary.
It's
how did that happen?
Well, I just didn't want to just
cause he doesn't just give his number.
I don't give me number out just in case people like Marlo get it.
I was going to ask you, what's your number.
Yeah, well, right.
I'll give you Claire's. But
sorry, Dixon.
But no, we'll
or little buttsy,
little butts, man, little Dixon. We're going to call it. But let's do your show for sure,
mate. I would absolutely love it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so and Marlo, you got anything to shout out?
Nah. There's been a fair few shout-outs.
There's been a lot of shout-outs.
Like, Coach Ayala. Coach
Bam, what do you got? You got any shout-outs? Nah. Shit. Papa Macros. There you go. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Very enjoyable. Thanks, boys.
Oh, good to see you. Yeah. Very good to see you, buddy.
Yeah. We're going to do a sportsman's lunch at some point. Well, not even a sports, a long lunch. So it'd be good to have some...
I know what that used to mean.
No, it's going to be a short lunch.
Okay, good.
It's going to be a drive-thru.
Mine will probably be long.
Yours will probably be long. But we'd love to have you two on as guests at some point. We're not sure when we're going to do it, obviously, with the bub coming along. But if you got the time...
Yeah, always got time for you, Butsy.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. All right, beautiful.
Get off his cock.
Yeah,
love that.
I'll drive another 6 hours.
Just bring your fuel receipts, mate.
No, we're going to do it in Sydney, so it's not in that far.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We'll do one in the gong just for you.
Nah, take it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, see you later. Fuck off, bye.